Right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And I want to say something to you. You may not have heard previously on an Easter morning, but it is entirely appropriate. Happy birthday. Do I know something about you that nobody else knows? Well, actually, I think maybe I do. Because in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you get that? What he was saying was this: you were born again, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you were born again through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So I'm a bit naughty. Somebody asks me, when were you born again? I often say, around about 33 AD, I think. And they look at me and think, well, he's old, but I didn't know he was that old. But actually, of course, it's the best way to think about it. I was born again through the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive, and you're alive, so happy birthday. All right? Turn to the person next to you and say, cheer up. It's your birthday. The problem is, of course, that when Mary got back to the disciples, what she had to say seemed to them to be nonsense. Well, you know what it's like. See, these are men. First of all, these are men, right? And they have this, particularly in the Jewish culture of the time, they had this idea that if God had anything important to say, he wouldn't bother telling a woman, he'd tell a man first. And then the man could tell the woman, because that's the right way of things. And especially, I have to say, since most of the disciples were northerners, it were even worse. So these northern men, you see, they're all sitting there, and she comes back and she says, I've seen the Lord. Oh, sit down, Mary, have a cup of tea, you'll feel better. I couldn't feel better, I've seen the Lord, he's risen from the dead. Oh, of course he is, love. Of course he is. No, sit down. You're a bit upset. I know I'm saying I'm through to me. Say, well, I knew you were upset. So, do you follow? That's what's going on here. And the Bible, in Luke chapter 24, it says this: they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. You see, it's all too easy, isn't it? You stereotype people and then you put them into a certain sort of pocket, and that means I can now regard what they have to say on the basis of the pocket I put them in. So if it's a woman, hysterical, the rest of it, Now that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Now, I want you to imagine, the person you love best in all the world has just died. And you're gathered with a whole bunch of other people who also love this person more than anybody else. And suddenly, some women erupt into the place and say, he isn't dead, he's alive! And they're like, oh, grief. It's, oh no. And at this point, these two fellas, they're going back home. They're going to Emmaus. You might want to think, well, where are they going back to? Because I actually want to ask you this morning, where would you be going back to? See, Emmaus, something like 50 or 60 years ago, Emmaus had produced a Messiah. Not Jesus, a false Messiah, who had raised a little army and created a rebellion against the Romans, who had got, as they often did, in situations like that, they got very annoyed. So they killed all the members of the army, killed the false Messiah, and knocked over almost all of Emmaus. Emmaus was a home of disappointments. When they said, right, that's it, we're going on. We've had it. We've had enough. Hysterical, I mean, Jesus is dead, that's bad enough. But hysterical, we're going to do without, we're going home. Do you understand? Why are they going home? Because Emmaus is the place where you go to be at home with your disappointments. They actually don't want to be disturbed because it's what they always expected. In other words, they're guided more by their history than by their destiny. Jesus had told them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But they preferred to believe the evidence of their history rather than what he told them was their destiny, to reign with him, to reign with God forever and ever. I mean, that's pretty good news, isn't it? Yes. I'm doing my best here. I mean, do help me out a little bit. So there they are. They're going back home, and they're going back home to Emmaus, right? So there they are, drooping along, looking like Christians on the way to church.
Hallelujah.
And suddenly somebody stops them, somebody they don't recognise, and he says, hello, you two, what's up? And they say, what do you mean, what's up? He says, why are you looking so miserable? They say, what? What's the matter with you? Don't you know much about anything? Don't you know what's been going on? No, he said, do tell me. Oh, it's about Jesus. See, now the problem is, when we're telling people about Jesus, are we excited? If we ever get a chance, if somebody ever says to you, why do you bother going to that place? Do you say, well, it's Julie, she's just so lovely. Yeah, all right, that's a good one. But the fact is, we don't come because of Jesus. She might be, you know, at some point, things change. Why do we come to church? We don't come just because the vicar happens to be pretty good and jolly and much better than, somebody else. Do you follow? Why do we come? We come because Jesus is alive. We come to meet with the people that believe that Jesus is alive. But the problem is when we meet as a bunch of people who believe that Jesus is alive, we often don't look as though we're alive. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is alive. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus really is alive. Don't get confused. If you've got two people on either side, you can tell. They stood still. The Bible says they stood still, their faces downcast. You know what that feels like, don't you? Hands up if you've never in your life ever been miserable. On the other hand, hands up if you find yourself frequently being miserable. Nobody wants to confess to that. Any grumpy old men here? Or wives who want to say, yes, I'm married to one? Any miserable old ladies? I mean, no, fellas, don't admit to that, please. Because you'll notice, when you get home, you'll pay. So they stand there looking miserable, and one of them named Cleopas said to you, the only person this is Jerusalem, don't know the things that have happened there in these days. What things, they asked? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Now they've got an opportunity to share good news, and this is their good news. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since... See, this is the point. It's the third day since all this happened. It's only 3 days ago. And some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came in and they told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So, basically, we're going home. Where we're all used to disappointments, You've got a friend like that who always says, I told you, didn't I? I told you it would work out like that. Maybe not northern. You don't have to be northern to be grumpy. Southerners do it extremely well, but rather better spoken. Do you know what he said to them? Basically, he said, you are a couple of idiots, aren't you? What? You're a couple of idiots and stubborn. That's the problem with you. You're just not willing to believe. What? We gave up 3 years of our lives to trudge around the country with Jesus, and now you're telling us we don't believe? Absolutely. He says, have you not read the prophets? Have you not understood them? And the Bible says at the beginning of the Old Testament, and going through to the end, he explained to them everything about him. Now that would have been the best Bible study ever, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Thank you. And let's face it, there's an awful lot of material there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Samuel, Moses, Jonah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Nice, I like that. But what I think that our keyboard player and the choir have done magnificently this morning. You never gave them a
stand up, President.
Hey, I'll give some away. There you go! And the kids at the front have been brilliant, haven't they? Did you know we've got children in the house? If you've got friends who say, don't like children in church, they're noisy. This is not brilliant! Bring your miserable friend, they like it. He explained to them everything that was in the about the scriptures about himself. As they approached them, it was a long walk. There was an awful lot of material. And they got to their house. They started to sort of turn into the house. And it was like the man who had so, I mean, I imagine them talking to each other and saying, babe, whispering, you know this fella? Jesus would have loved him. He talked like him. And they get to the house, they start to turn in, and he starts moving on. And they said, no, don't do that. Come on. Come and have supper with us. Go and break bread. And he went in to stay with them. You see, when you invite Jesus in, he comes to stay. He comes to stay. And even if you have lost faith, he still stays because he's not put off by the fact that you are a plonker. That you're a failure. That you're weak. That your faith keeps on falling down. Jesus believes in you. Did you know that? The Bible says that it's by his faith that we're made new. By his faith. Well, he went in to stay with them. He was at the table with them. They took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began. And he took the bread because they'd asked him as the honored guest. Now, they didn't have what Jews have today, a matzo crack. They almost certainly had a sort of chapati, a folding flatbread. Do you understand? So imagine, they're sitting there, they've been listening to this man for hours as he walks back to the ministry with them. He lifts this chapati and begins to tear it. Almighty God, Father of Israel, thank you for grain, the gift of your hands, and bread, the work of men's hands. We break this bread to meet with you. And as he tears the chapati, see what's happened to my sleeves? What's happened to them? They've fallen down, haven't they? the moment when they saw the marks of nails in his wrists. And that's when their eyes were open. It's like, bang! Hey! It's you! And he's gone. They look, he's gone. The chapati is on the table. There's a mark of his rear end in the cushion he's been sitting on, but he's gone in a moment! And that's when they say, it was an amazing revelation for them. They said, hey, hey, who'd have thought it? The women were right. And that's when they got up and started running. Now, I didn't, no, not drooping along like the way they came. But now they're running back to Jerusalem. Running. All the way. Never been so excited in all their lives. Running, running, running. And they run back, they're up the stairs to the upper room, banging on the door. Inside, maybe people are thinking, oh, it's the police come to arrest us. But actually, they burst in and they start to say, Jesus is alive! And the funny thing is, it's an anticlimax, because there's people inside who say, yeah, we know. What? We ran all the way to tell you this! And that's when they said, yeah, but Simon Peter's seen. See, you can't trust women. But when Simon says, I have seen the Lord, you go, okay, fine, no problem. Because he could be a front row forward for Wigan, you know, it's like... I have seen the Lord. Okay, Simon, no problem. I believe you. But here's the thing. Though they said to him they believed him, here's what happened. By the way, they said, were not our hearts burning with us? You know what? We're supposed to be excited about Jesus. We're supposed to be excited about the message. We're supposed to be excited about the resurrection. We're supposed to be excited about the fact that God has called us to be part of his eternal plan. That's why Jesus died and rose again. Then the two told the others who were telling them about Simon what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. Door is locked, windows are barred, no chimney, but suddenly Jesus is standing among them. And you never know when Jesus is going to turn up. But he comes much more frequently than you allow him time to do. They were startled and frightened. Jesus stood among them. What's the first thing he said? We said this morning. Peace be with you. What was their response? The Bible says they were scared to death and thought it was a ghost. Yay! Well, that's happening now. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do... Here's the question I want to ask you. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? You see, this morning, we want to use this special Easter time. The first Easter of the vicar being here. And it's a joy and a delight to be with you and to be with her on this occasion. So I'm going to ask you. See, we've got the Easter candle. And we use it as a big candle, not just so as to make it difficult for those who are vertically challenged. We use a big candle because we want you to be reminded of the words of the Holy Scriptures in John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. He's alive. All right. So what we want you to do this morning is to reconnect. Some of you, you've been loyal members of the church all your lives. You've been diligent at working for the body of Christ. You've been faithful in receiving Holy Communion. But this morning what we want you to do is to say, Lord Jesus, I want to truly connect with you. You see, here's...
Thank you, guys, some more sad.
We do this at baptisms, don't we? We have a candle, but it's usually bigger than this. But this morning, I'm going to invite you to take one of these out of the bowl here. And if you can do it, reach up to the top. Well, the Nicola wants me to use one of the other little ones. I have to say, this is not very helpful, can I? But maybe this one will help. Oh, there you go. Look at that. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to light a candle and to say, Lord Jesus, I want to reconnect with you. Ignite my heart with a flame of love for you, so that I'll never again be bored when someone says, let's go to church. I'll never again sit in church thinking, when's it going to be over? That may be what you're thinking right now, but I mean, actually, Lord Jesus, I want to know you afresh. And for some of you, it's like the pain of disappointment. I've spoken about Emmaus deliberately because there are people here this morning who have had such disappointments in their lives. Somebody you loved dearly died, and life has just never been the same. Jesus is alive. And I invite you this morning to take one of these. And take it up to the cross which is lying on the table inside this part of the church. And I'm inviting you to take your little candle and put it on the cross to say, Lord Jesus. And as you do so, to actually say to him, Lord Jesus, you died for me. So grateful. I'm so grateful you died for me. And this is my little way of saying, I want to know you better than I've ever known you before. I'm inviting you. Come in as my saviour, king, friend. Father,
give me a black
pen,
please.
And make me new. Alright? Here's the thing. Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your minds? He said to them, look at my hands and feet. What was he asking them to look at? You see, what we don't know is that these were not decorative. That's a Roman nail. There in Scotland, about 168 AD, nothing holy about it except that I look at it and hold it and think, you did that.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Do you follow?
Sorry.
He knew, and they knew. They'd been there. They were almost certainly watching from a distance. Touch me and see, he said. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. He showed them his hands and his feet. And then he said, you got any? I can see you still don't believe. You got anything to eat? And they said, well, we got fried fish. And he said, you know I love fried fish. Give me some. Imagine if that were you. He's risen from the dead, except that, is he, because you're still thinking, is he a ghost? So, I mean, I'd like to think somebody said, you know, can I have a, he says to them, can I have a bit of fish? And somebody, this genial chap here, says, yes, of course you can. And then turns to somebody else and says, give him some. And why me? You said you left some. You give him some. Somebody found the courage to hold out a piece of fried fish to Jesus and go, here are they. And he took it and he ate it. And I don't know whether it was crackling in his mouth or grease running down his chin, but suddenly they got it. Ghosts don't eat fried fish. He's alive! It's amazing! And they're all round him saying, you're alive! I know, I told you. But you were dead! I know. Wait, so you were really dead? I was really dead. Now I'm really alive. and I've come so that you can have real life in you because I'm really alive. Come on.
You
oh, come on. This is a good story, isn't it?
A pink pen, please.
That's the price we
pay. I just want to...
Brian Kendrick wrote years ago in that famous song, The Price We Pay on the Day. So, my dear brothers and sisters, and if you're one of those people who's never actually been part of the body of Christ, never actually been in the church, so, did I do that? No, I didn't. If you've never actually committed your life to Jesus Christ personally, then I invite you to do exactly the same as I've asked others to do. Except that you're going to be saying, Lord, I've never believed in you. In fact, I'm not even sure why I'm doing this, but you know what? If you're really alive, I want to know. So I'm going to light my candle at your candle to say, set my heart alight, Lord Jesus. Give me the light of the world in me so that I can be the new person I'm meant to be. Alright? And I think we're going to do this while we sing, aren't we? We're going to sing. Yes. Yes, you explain. What are we doing? You're going to sing.
We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. The words will be on the screen. Richard, when it's finished, we'll continue playing as long as we need to. But this is going to be the hymn we're going to use as we respond to what God is saying to us today.
And here's the opportunity. And here's the reason why I really want you to do something about it. And not just sit there like good Anglicans thinking, well, you know, we've never done that before. See, one of the wonderful things about being an Anglican is that if the vicar says you can do it, you can do it. Because the bishop said, she's in charge. That's it. So when the church kingdom works, or doesn't, but it still works. And what I'm saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, is this. Don't walk out of here when this whole thing is over thinking, well, I'm looking forward to the sherry. I noticed that on the back. I thought, that's an inducement to me. But don't worry, there'll be plenty. But what I want to say to you is, don't walk out of that door and think, I should have. But I didn't. Because you'll feel such disappointment in yourself. Do you follow? If you're a man or a woman who's capable of great faith and great courage in following Jesus, this is the moment to be able to stand up and say, no matter how often I've let you down, no matter how often I've got it wrong, Lord, coming to you. Okay? Just as I am. Screwed up, messed up, failure, all the rest of it, just as I am, I'm coming. Alright?
So just to let you know, there's lights here. If you need help lighting, then we can do that. But also there's lights at the front. And they all come from the Easter cross, which is the good news of Jesus today. So we're going to stand. Let's stand, shall we? And as we're singing, just respond in your own hearts to what God is saying.
And if it helps, can I just say, I'm putting this Roman nail on the table at the front. And if it helps, just to come and touch it to say that's the reality of the Saviour. As real as that.